Coming up next is episode 389 of Bella in Your Business.
Hi there, I'm Bella Vassar from Jump Consulting. You might know me from CBS, NBC, Fox, Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, or maybe you've seen me speak on stage or read my book, The Four Dogs That Every Business Owner Needs. In any case, get ready because you're about to get your hashtag Bella butt kicking in this next episode of Bella in Your Business. So what do you say? Let's get ready and jump.
Welcome to another episode of Bella in Your Business. My name is Bella Vasta, and we're going to continue on the bad customer complaint train today. First, I love how many of you guys actually went out and did get The Joy of Failure. Talked about it in the last episode by Julia McCoy and Chris Evans. It is a really good quick read, and it will really impact your soul. I can't stress it enough. If you can't be in the room technically with amazing people, that is definitely the next best thing. In the last episode, we talked about, you know, how customer complaints can really shake us to the core. It can unearth a lot of trauma. It could unearth a lot of reactions that we're not quite sure of. It could paralyze us. It could freeze us. It could do all of these things and kind of how to overcome them. And, you know, you really have to think about the psychology of it first before we just get into the robotic how-tos, which we're going to kind of move into a little bit today. Today, we're going to talk about the effective communication strategies, about how to respond, how to actively listen, how your language actually matters a lot. And we're going to talk about how to kind of move through that. And I'm going to give you different practical steps to resolve the complaint where you definitely can make a good SOP and then, you know, adapt it to however you want today. First, before we get into that, I do want to do a big shout out to Jazz HR, who helps support our industry in ways that I have never seen a company do so consistently and for so long. So take these words from our sponsor. Have you tried Jazz HR out in the past, but didn't think it worked? I have some tough news for you, Jumper. You probably didn't have me in your corner. Did you know that many of my clients who have gone from skeleton operations to a full-blown company where they can take a month off at a time have come with the support of being fully staffed due to Jazz HR? Jazz HR will help you streamline your entire process, show you where it isn't working, keep you organized, and the best thing? It'll make you look like a trusted and respected company to those potential employees. But you have to remember, your applicant isn't just applying with you. Having your company stand out with a professional, streamlined, and specific hiring process that makes them want to work for you is important. Learn more about how you can get free hiring ads, knockout questions, free training, and up to 50% off now at jumpconsulting.net/jazzhr. That's jumpconsulting.net/jazzhr. Alrighty, and we're back. And today I wanted to also give you another book recommendation. This is a book that I have read, that a lot of my clients have read, that we've had the author teach not once, but twice in the mastermind. There's actually the teaching, the recordings are in there right now if you're in the mastermind. If you're not, you want to check it out, go ahead and sign up. It's only month to month, and it's jumpconsulting.net/mastermind, but it's called Never Lose a Customer Again. Turn any sales into a lifelong loyalty in 100 days. It's by the most amazing, charismatic, exciting, interesting person, Joey Coleman. And it's a really awesome book, how you can kind of build out your own procedures. And towards the end of this series that we're doing on customer complaints, it turned into a series. It was going to be just an episode, but I think we're going to actually be doing a third episode after this one. You might want to grab that. And that's also on Audible and Kindle and hardcover. And it's been very amazing for a lot of people. It's really helped build out this kind of customer loyalty program in terms of how to reach out and touch them and make sure that, you know, they feel like really excited to be part of your company beyond the whole, oh, thank you for your booking. You're a new client. Now you're part of the family. All right. Always looking to inspire and motivate you guys towards success, because I know that entrepreneurship can be pretty, pretty lonely. Okay, so let's get into today's episode. Let's talk about effective communication strategies. Now that we're equipped with the understanding of why complaints can actually be gateways to improvement, let's shift our focus to how we can actually master communication in these sensitive situations. So the first response is key. It's paramount. Like, think about the last time that you had to, you know, make a complaint to a company. You like kind of lay it all at the floor, at the feet, whether it's, you know, online, whether it's an email, whether it's a phone call, whatever it might be. You muster up all this time and energy to actually even tell them that something is wrong, because most people won't, right? And you are anticipating their response, and their response is everything. So the moment the complaint is voiced, the clock starts ticking. Your response time, and more importantly, the quality of that response, sets the stage for the entire interaction. It's crucial to acknowledge the complaint quickly, and not just to show that you're prompt, but you can demonstrate care and concern. An immediate acknowledgement can be something as simple as, "I understand you're upset, and that's not the experience we want you to have." Here, timing is everything. A quick response shows that you're attentive and committed to resolving issues swiftly. But remember, a fast response that lacks empathy can do more harm than good. It's about finding that balance, being quick, but also being meaningful in your communication. The other thing I want you to think about is listen actively. Now, I always make a joke about this because I'm from Boston and I'm Italian. And so my listening, especially being in Arizona, which is more like West Coast, I always like giggle about this because in my family, it's like the person that can talk the loudest and talk over people. It's like, "Hey, oh, hey, hey," you know, like, and you're like, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Like, you're talking over each other and fast. It means that you're actively listening, right? But generally speaking, and especially in business, it's something I always have to watch. I can't interrupt people. I try not to interrupt people. No matter how excited I am, I need to let people finish their thoughts. So when you're listening, genuine, active listening, when a client comes to you with a complaint, they're often frustrated, maybe upset, and they want to feel heard. So it's your opportunity to listen, which is with two ears and speak with one mouth, right? But to understand, active listening involves giving your full attention, nodding, maintaining eye contact if you're in person, not interrupting. Follow their complaint with a summary of what they said. So show them that you literally hear what they're saying. You're not just waiting to say what you want to say. So, okay, let me make sure I've got this right. And then repeating back their key points. It'll show that you're engaged and clarify any potential misunderstandings immediately. And this method doesn't just apply to face-to-face. It's equally effective on calls or email. And it's about making the customer feel valued and respected through your attention to detail. Now, I've seen this go so wrong in those call centers, right? They just start regurgitating what you're said. And I'm like, "Oh my God, just stop talking," right? Because there's like an empathetic way to do this when you really do care. Like, okay, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that this, this, and this happened, right? Right? And that's a really good way to do it. But when it's not like, "Okay, ma'am, I understand that you're trying to do this and I'm going to help you in everything that you can possibly do." And it's like they're trying to repeat this back to you, but they're not even asking if they got it clearly, right? And so it can actually do more harm than justice if you're not authentic about it. And now the language also matters too. I'm going to give you four different types of phrases that you can use. Choosing the right words can either escalate or diffuse a situation. Words are powerful. And in a complaint management, the right words can turn the tide in your favor. Use phrases that convey empathy and understanding, such as, "I can see why that would be upsetting," or, "You're absolutely right to bring this to our attention," or, "Thank you so much for your patience as we sort this out. I'm definitely going to get back to you," or, "Let's work together to find a solution." Avoid using jargon or over technically terms that might confuse or alienate your client. Simplify your language, but keep it professional. People want to speak to a human, right? And emphasize collaborative language. Using phrases like "let's fix this together" helps in sharing responsibility rather than shifting blames. It's about teamwork, even in a complaint scenario. To sum it up, effective communication is your most powerful tool in complaint management. It's not just about responding, but doing so in a way that shows that you care, you understand, and you're ready to make things right. By mastering the art of timely response, active listening, and careful language choice, You set up yourself and your business for success resolutions and happier customers. This is something that, you know, one day you might delegate. So you're going to want to create an SOP around this, a standard operating procedure. You're going to want to put those phrases that I just said in there as standard phrases to say to people. So like, let's pause for a moment and let these strategies think in. The next part that I want to talk about is practical steps to resolving these complaints. And so I really want you to really think about all of this, like what we've talked about. First, I want you to pause and like get rid of all that anxiety and everything that comes with, oh no, I'm in trouble, or someone's not happy and I don't know what to do with it, and it heightens your emotions. Then we're going to think about, how can we listen and hear this person out and make them feel heard? Now we're going to kind of shift into the steps to resolve the complaints. So I'm going to tell you off the gate, there's five I'm going to talk about. We're going to acknowledge the issue, apologize sincerely, offer a solution, take action, and follow up to ensure that it is solved to their satisfaction. So let's talk about acknowledge the issue. First and foremost, we got to acknowledge it, right? This doesn't mean you agree with it, but you recognize that the customer's feelings and concerns are valid. Say something like, I see where the problem is, or I understand why that's upset you. I think that's something that doesn't happen often enough in this world, especially even this year, you know, as we're on a political year, 2024, is that people can listen to understand. They don't have to agree. By understanding or attempting to understand where people are coming from, it doesn't mean that you've gone to the dark side and that you agree with them, right? You can understand someone and also not agree. Two things can be true. And so acknowledging is just about validating their feelings, which it's crucial for diffusing potential frustrations. Step two is apologizing sincerely when it's appropriate. So if the situation warrants an apology, this step is vital, as it shows humility and it takes ownership where it's necessary. An apology can go a long way and is often the fastest method to rebuilding trust, but it has to be authentic and genuine. I am truly sorry this happened. Or, we regret that you've had this experience and we're here to make it right. Think about how I just said that, as opposed to, I'm truly sorry the way that this happened. We regret you had this experience and we're here to make it right. Those have two different feelings, right? There's a difference between feeling it and being genuine, and then just reciting it to recite it or say it to say it. The next step is offer a solution and asks what the client would be fair. I think this is so important. This is probably the most important part of this entire episode, you guys. I think oftentimes a lot of people just throw money at a problem. Oh, we'll refund you, without ever asking, what can I do to make this right? Or listening for what the client might even be asking for. They might just tell you off the bat. And so to move forward, you need some sort of resolution. Or better yet, just ask the client, how can we make this right for you? You know, so I'm truly sorry this happened. This definitely is not the experience we want for you to have. How can I make this right? That right there is, again, it's collaborative, it's empathetic. It's opening the conversation to see what they actually want. Maybe they want to know that you're going to change your policy. Maybe they want to know they're going to get a new sitter. I think that when people ask for money back, they're kind of like at their last end. They're like, I just want my money back and be done with you, right? Oftentimes they want to know that you actually care and that you're trying to change things. So don't be afraid to just be open like that. How can we make this right? And then also not putting the burden completely on them, but having a couple of solutions that you're okay with, ready to go. We could do this, or we could do that. Or if there's something else that, you know, would make you happy, I would love to entertain it. Let me know. It empowers the customer and involves them in the resolution process, which can greatly increase their satisfaction and their loyalty. The next part is, we're going to take action swiftly. Once a solution is agreed upon, act swiftly. Immediate action demonstrates your commitment to resolving the issue and mitigate any inconvenience your client has experienced. It's not just about saying the right things. It's about following up with concrete actions. And then once we do those actions, we don't want to just be done with it. we want to follow up and ensure their satisfaction. So after resolving the issue, follow up to ensure the client is satisfied and how it was handled. A simple follow-up email or phone call can reaffirm to the client that you value their business and satisfaction. This step often seals the deal for continued patronage and positive word of mouth. And I know that's one thing that people are really scared about. We talked about it last episode where you often like freeze because you don't want that negative review, that complaint, that bad mouth, or that bad word of mouth, right? Now, as we turn inward, that's client facing, it's really crucial to discuss the role of clear written policies in managing complaints. Policies provide a framework for both your team and your clients, setting expectations for what happens when things go wrong. I think another thing too is if you have office staff, I know some of you do, allow them to solve problems up to $100, you know, up to a $100 refund before they have to call you, right? We want to empower them to make a decision. That's just one example or one way they could. I want you to think about like when the policies are clear, it's easy for your team to manage the complaints consistently and effectively. Ensure that the policies are easily accessible for your clients too. Ideally posted on your website to include your service agreement. By implementing these steps, you not only ensure that you're resolving the issue like in a good way, but you also continuously improve the way your business operates. And so handling complaints effectively isn't just about dealing with the negatives, but also opening up a collaborative situation to solve it together and ultimately maybe create a client for life. So next week, we're going to talk about how we can actually take those complaints and turn them into opportunities, learning from the feedback, using them as training in your company, how to build stronger relationships with the customers. And so I'm excited to kind of continue on this train, but you know, this is all pretty high level and we're dealing with all the nitty gritty inside the mastermind right now. We had a really great roundup last week. It's where we basically get together and we just all talk and we solve problems. And the things that people come up with in there are so unique and so interesting. It's not just about solving problems. It's also about celebrating, supporting one another. It's about getting those creative juices flowing in a way that, you know, it's just, we kind of get mundane, pushed down, overwhelmed, buried underneath our business. And I just love what happens in the mastermind. Not to mention, we have 5 months worth of customer service, trainings, postings, examples, and inspiration. And I say 5 months because, you know, we've been going on since 2018. And what we do is we organize everything in the mastermind into what we call guides. And we also have this really cool spreadsheet that's really long. And it is every single time Nikki Ramirez has come in, which is probably, at least 70 times, like 70 hours worth of HR calls that you don't have to sift through. You can go through the spreadsheet and you can go to firing an employee and you can see all the questions we've asked around firing employee, a link to the video and the timestamp. So you can go straight to it. So it's all by topics and there's nowhere else in the industry you can get that. Nowhere else can you get HR support from an actual HR person who knows inside and out our industry, who works with dog walking and pet sitting companies. So I'm really proud of the mastermind. If you have been lurking and listening and want to join as a jumper, it's a month-to-month contract. That's it. It's just month-to-month. It's only $177. And if you use Bella25 by the end of this month, you can get $25 off a month. So that makes it what? $157 or $152. I don't know. I'm flustered right now and I'm not good at math. Anyways, you guys, this has been another episode of Bella in Your Business. If you want a positive, supportive community around you, join us at jumpconsulting.net/mastermind. And also don't forget to check out Jazz HR as they have given us the deepest discount they've ever given anyone because they've also been working with us since 2018. And you only get it if you're part of the Jumper crew. So just go to jumpconsulting.net/JazzHR. Remember, when life gets you down, always keep jumping, and I'll see you again next week. Bye now.
So what did you think? Did you love this episode? I sure hope you did because I put a lot of love into this for you. The best way you can show me that is by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast and go ahead and leave a review. I just might read it on the next episode. I also want to remind you that when life gets you down, remember to always keep jumping. Thanks for listening.